You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Speaking of where we all stand, we obviously have been keeping an eye on the conversations that have been happening from Washington, from Pretoria, from the Union Buildings, or I'd imagine in this case it potentially could be Cape Town as well, about the, I say post, because we can't say tweet anymore, but the post on Truth Social and other social platforms from Donald J. Trump around South Africa and where he stands from the positioning of the expropriation bill that was passed by our president. I'm joined on the line by a professor at Gordon Institute for Business Sciences. That's the Professor for Economics, Finance and Strategy, of course, Professor Adrian Saville, to take a look at this and see if we can make sense of any of it. Good evening, Prof. Lovely to catch up with you as always. I think every time you and I speak, it's never really about something that's calm. It's always about chaos that's happening. And this time the chaos, I mean, expectedly so, I suppose, is from the President of the United States.
Yeah, well, you know, let's start here. What day is it?
Monday.
And social has a whole lot to say about Mondays and what the U.S. president has to say on Mondays. So, you know, maybe we can, you know, poke a little bit of fun back, you know, into what is a very serious matter. And, you know, it's not what shouldn't be lost on us is notwithstanding what Donald Trump is saying about the matter, you know, what we should really be focusing on is what it means for South Africa. Mm. You know, and here I would take my hat off to the presidency, which has taken an incredibly sober and mature stance, clear communication to try and a sort of smooth ruffled feathers and inject sanity into a very, very heated debate. The one thing, you know, Trump is world-class at is polarizing. And, you know, here we have Exhibit A.
How do we prepare for that, Prof, when we look at the state of geopolitics, the state of economics, the state of how interconnected the world is? You cannot, I imagine, have a president that is allowed to say such sweeping statements at any time on any platform he deems necessary, not in official communications, and that have an effect on the markets, on how people are perceiving certain situations. Now, there's a whole separate debate that we can have around the signing of the expropriation bill, whether or not it was
Absolutely. Right.
And that's a separate conversation.
Yeah.
But we're looking at the fact that one president can wake up and unilaterally decide that he wants to take this particular stance, true or not, and that is a very dangerous amount of power for one president to have.
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying this back to you cheekily, but you're saying we can't have, well, you know, who said we can't have this? That's what the U.S. Electorate voted into power. Mm. They voted Trump into power on the back of, you know, some very bold claims. And he is, if anything, you know, at least living up to those claims, if not exceeding them. He's been vocal. He's been strident. In some ways, it's surreal that it's only 2 weeks since he was sworn in. You know, and look at what he has ushered in the space of these 2 weeks. The one thing that that shouldn't be lost on us is the stones and glass houses story that's going on here, because, you know, in his truth social statement, he's, you know, he's outraged, but at the same time he has imposed tariffs. 10, 20, 25%. I've done some back of the envelope modeling in trying to work out what the impact is on the US economy. And my fairly sober guesstimate is that it will add 2.5% inflation. Now, the person who pays for inflation ultimately is the consumer. And so what has been confiscated from the consumer, and I'm underlining that word confiscated because, you know, that's his outrage about South Africa's stance. what he has effectively quietly confiscated from the consumer's pocket is 2.5% of the U.S. economy, based on, you know, some very crude back-of-the-envelope modeling. But there's a lot of stone-throwing going on in the glass house here.
Mm. Speaking of that stone throwing, how do we reconcile that with the rest of the geopolitical events that are happening? I mean, President Trump has been very vocal about a number of things around the world and very quiet about some of them, promising to end certain wars, if I remember correctly, before taking office. And since then, I believe the Russia-Ukraine war is still ongoing. The war in Gaza is still kind of working itself out, but also not completely ceased. So clearly, some promises are more important than others, and the rest of the world is left to figure out what matters most, I suppose.
Yeah, Jimmy, buckle up for the ride. We're in week two of week 200. It might get quieter, you know, as we get deeper into it, and he becomes more sort of level-headed or consistent in messaging, or less widespread in his messaging. But what you've got going on in these first 2 weeks is a very strident president who is determined to deliver. I think that this is, you know, true to form, true to character. We shouldn't be surprised, and if anything, we should be settling in for 4 years of quite high levels of uncertainty.
Mm. From a South African perspective, what is kind of your threat assessment level? Where are we from a threat assessment level, understanding that tariffs could still be discussed, AGOA could still be brought up?
Yeah.
We have the Musk Starlink angle to it all. How serious is the situation for South Africa, and how important is it for South Africa to then say, we're going to hold our ground as a sovereign state, but we're also going to maintain diplomatic relations if that is something we seek to do? Because understanding that threatening to cut funding to South Africa is effectively weaponizing your position as a government.
Look, a backdrop point that is really worth emphasizing here is the institutional economist Douglas North talks about the importance of institutional stability and frameworks. These are being challenged at many levels. You're talking about geopolitical implications, and you've used that term a couple of times. I think we need to be hypersensitive to the geopolitical implications. On this front, South Africa has very little firepower. And we really need to look at the positioning of the bigger houses, the bigger economies, most obviously India, China, to an extent, Brazil, and then the whole of Europe, you know, what their positioning is on this. And what is interesting is, to my mind, what is interesting is the sequencing that Trump has initiated in the imposition of tariffs, going for his neighbors first, and then the giant Chinese economy. What game theory tells us about this is the best way to respond in this type of inverted commas game is a tit for tat approach. And so I think what this ushers in is a geopolitical environment of tit for tat. And in those games, there are seldom winners.
Seldom winners, a lot of losers, and even more that suffer as collateral damage. One has to wonder that if this is the position of Donald Trump to try and win over South Africa as an ally, did he not just do the opposite and push us further into the hands of BRICS? But that's a conversation for another day. Unfortunately, we don't have time to get into that conversation. Thank you so much, Prof, as always, for the time and for the insights. Professor Adrian Saville, Professor of Economics, Finance and Strategy at the Gordon Institute for Business Sciences, weighing in on the latest comments by President Donald Trump around South Africa.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app, and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.